Some time ago, I recommended to Dr. Pollock that he get a higher pulpit. I think this is coming back to haunt me here today. Hugh and I are delighted to be here for this Sunday prior to the whole Congress week, and of course to enter into all the events and the preaching of this very week. I want to bring you greetings from my church in Cloverdale, British Columbia. And not only greetings, but some members as well. We have the Roosma family here and the Hansen family. And we also have a family who have moved on us away off to Toronto, Donald and Anne Chu and their children, and they're here with us today as well. And so it is our delight to be amongst you for this special week. It's also a joy to see the Pollock family settle in their new pastorate here in Malvern. This has been a great turn of events for our presbytery, the answer to many prayers to fill one more pulpit. There are a few yet to go, mind you, but we're rejoicing that the Lord has given you a preacher of the word, and to see him, his wife and family settled in this congregation, and the blessing of the Lord upon that ministry. As I look down, I can only say, oh, how the congregation has grown. Of course, it's been boosted here today, but nevertheless, we rejoice in the good things that the Lord is doing. Thank you, brother. I want to thank the Malvern congregation here for hosting this Congress. It is a bit of a daunting proposition to start with. Not too many churches would want to take it on, but I think your minister, being the man he is, maybe he hasn't yet learned to say no, and this is kind of learning the hard way. But we're looking forward to the meetings this week, to the preaching of the word. Also very nice to see visitors from Ulster who have made the very special effort to come this way. We thank you for coming. And I know that others are joining us through the week, some from Toronto and various other churches that are coming in. I had a little opportunity earlier to say a word of sympathy to Mrs. Walker from our Orlando church. I had the privilege of spending an hour or so with her husband back in May. I was down in Orlando after our week of prayer in Alabama, and Kathy brought her dad over to the home where the Walters' home where I was staying, and it was a sweet and wonderful visit. And I never thought that he would so quickly be removed from this world and taken home to glory. How providential that Kathy was home from the mission field in Kenya for that passing of her dad. On one hand, we are sad that she did not have longer to spend with her dad. Nevertheless, to be home, I know, was very precious to her and her family, and to Mary here as well, and also to an aunt. I'm still working out all the family connections here, but may the Lord comfort and bless. And others who have known bereavement, may the Lord continue to comfort each one. There are many reasons why we have this Congress on these four-year cycles. We are a new presbytery in North America. We are relatively young in comparison to the Ulster Presbytery. We are finding our feet, and we need strength and support. And there's no place like looking to our mother church and our denomination in Ulster. And we're thankful for the prayer support, the help, the missionary endeavors that we can take on together. And as we seek to serve the Lord shoulder to shoulder, that we may raise the gospel banner high, and that the Lord, in his time, in his way, will come down and visit and give us days of great grace and blessing. And so, I trust the tide will rise I'm a little concerned today because I heard from the pulpit here this morning that over in this part of the world you tend to roast and eat preachers that don't bring the word effectively. So I hope there's lots of meat down there. If not, I'll be bolting out this back door rather than become cannibalized here today. So I don't hear lots of amens. I'll be going. So we're going to turn in God's word today to the book of Joshua, to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Let's read together this chapter, this wonderful history of God's miracle on behalf of his people, remembering that these histories are his story of what God can do and do the unthinkable and the impossible for his own people. Let's read the word of God together, Joshua 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hevites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is, beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. May the Lord speak to your heart through his word today. Shall we stand, please, for a moment's prayer as we ask the Lord to come and to meet with us around his word. Our Father, we thank thee for this gathering of your people here today, those that are redeemed by blood, those who have their names written in the Lamb's book, those that are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have committed their lives to serve thee and to love thee with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. O God, we pray that today that thou, our covenant God, will come and work in our hearts in great grace. Solemnize this place with your holy presence. May you cause us in heart to take off our shoes, knowing that this is holy ground. We tremble at thy word today. Lord, it's a living book. And we pray that God, the Holy Ghost, will breathe through this word into our souls and minister to us. Give help in the pulpit and in the pew. Some are weary of body. But, O Lord, we pray for that quickening, that life-giving spirit. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Back in Joshua 3 in the verse 5, we have these words which were a command from Joshua to the people. Sanctify yourselves. Did you hear that? Sanctify yourselves. Now I choose this text because it cuts to the chase of the purpose and the meaning of this history. The children of Israel were soon going over the Jordan, which had the meaning that their old life, the wilderness life, was coming to an end. Now we know that the world is very powerful. It took one night to get the Egyptians out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the people of God. And now, only now, they are about to pass into the land of Canaan. Canaan for God's people was to be the land of victory, the land of God's help, of provision, a land of cities and wells and vines and life of overcoming as the people of God serving the Lord. And this is a great picture for us because when we come to Christ, and when we are in Christ, there is a new life. But we are not in heaven yet. There are battles to be won, and there are enemies to be driven out. And we stand in great need of the help of the Lord. I read about the hymn writer Frances Havergal, who, when she wrote the hymn, Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, that she had found a little book, and it was all for Jesus. That was the theme. And she learned that to live a life of power and of victory in her soul, that there needed to be complete surrender. And it's only the surrendered life that will enjoy the victory and the power of God. And so she wrote the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. Being a musician and a singer, She was in great demand because of her beautiful voice in many circles. But she vowed that she would only use her voice to sing for the Lord. And she wrote the line, "Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee." She also came into possession of much jewelry. And she again vowed that she would take that jewelry, donate it to the missionary society. And she wrote the line, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold." Every one of us is called to give up the carnal things of this world that we might live a surrendered life, a life that enjoys new power, a life that is like going over the Jordan into Canaan, where we will be in a land of blessing. But there must be this surrender. Why? Why did Frances Havergal need to read that book and learn about surrendering her life before she would enjoy the fullness of blessing? Why did she have to dedicate her voice to sing only for her Lord? Why did she need to give up material things that she might know the heavenly blessings? And why did Joshua command God's people here to sanctify yourselves? Why? That is the great question. And there are many who profess the name of Jesus today who don't believe and agree that there needs to be this sanctifying consecration of the individual's life. They believe that when you trust in Jesus, you can live as you like. But here we learn Joshua's command to the people, sanctify yourselves. I have three simple points on this today. The explanation of sanctify. And then we have the expectation. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. And then there's the application. How they did it. How they took this command to be sanctified and go over that Jordan. It might be today that the Lord is calling you into some new phase of life. You have come so far, but you have to confess that much of your life is like the wilderness, and it's time to go into the Canaan and to go over the Jordan. And so we need to discover how to explain this call, sanctify yourselves. First thing I would point out, that it's something that the people had to do themselves. Sanctify yourselves. This is not like stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is not like the hour that you were saved and you came to sit at the feet of Christ and you called on him to save you and to work his salvation in your soul. That was different. Now, you are to enter into the Canaan. You are to fight those spiritual enemies and engage in those battles. And now that the Israelites were right at the edge of the River Jordan to cross into the Promised Land, they are commanded, and it is a command, and they themselves must attend to it. Sanctify yourselves. Now in the New Testament we have like commands that are given to the people of God. In Colossians chapter 3, and I want you to take your Bible and follow along as I read these first few verses. The book of Colossians 3, verses 1 to 5. If ye then be risen with Christ. And I think this is a parallel passage. And we're going to learn a little that Jordan was the place of death. If ye then be risen with Christ. And it's not an if of could it be possible. It's a matter of since ye are risen with Christ. Since you are now united to him. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And verse 4, we'll read it as well, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. Put to death those members. And the list is given there of the things that we are to attend to. Those fleshly, carnal things that hinder you in your Christian life and will rob you of the power and the blessing of God. And so sanctify means to set yourself apart. The Lord's Day, God sanctified that seventh day. He set it apart for a special use. Things that you can do the other six, you cannot do on the seventh. There are things to be done on the seventh that you do not necessarily do the other days. That day is set apart. It is sanctified. Also in Israel, the firstborn were sanctified. They were set apart, earmarked for God. And we are the church of the firstborn. We are set apart for God, for his purpose, his worship, and for his glory. Now, this sanctifying, it means simply to wash, to purify, to cleanse, to set apart as special. In Exodus 19, Joshua is not too far from there, so we'll go back to Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verse 5. And you will see how God's people were to be a peculiar people. 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and led before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And down in verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Now these Israelites were well versed in ceremonial washings, and I'm sure that they did it all. I'm sure that they went through every perfunctory performance that they would prepare themselves to be that peculiar people of God. The New Testament Christian is also to sanctify himself or herself. Are you doing that? Now we probably know the verses, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my children. We probably know those texts. But are you doing this? As I pointed out, this is something that God's people must do themselves. There's a life to live. There's a discipline to follow. There are yeses and nos in the Christian life that must be fulfilled. And the Lord Jesus prayed for this. He said, Father, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Are you doing that? Might it be possible that this week, this will be the week of you in a spiritual manner going over your Jordan? The thing that's holding you back and separating you from blessing, that this will be the week that you will pass over. And God commands you today, sanctify yourselves. The people could not divide the water. They couldn't stop the water. They couldn't narrow the river. But they were commanded to sanctify themselves. And there are many things that a Christian cannot do and cannot change in human strength. But we are commanded personally to sanctify ourselves. Set ourselves apart for God and His glory. Young person, are you doing that? I know the world is calling. And I know we're living in an age of confusion when many are saying you can have both. You can enjoy the world and you can enjoy power with God. It's a lie. Sanctify yourselves. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. That brings us to the expectation of the sanctified people. Now in verses 8 through 13, before the event took place, they were given what God was going to do. And the whole account was laid out before them of how they were to line up, follow the Ark of the Covenant carried by the priests. They would go into the waters and the river would open and they would pass over. Sanctified people expect God's power to give up the old life for the new. That's the wonderful thing about living as a Christian. You're not doing it on your own. You're not seeking to fight the battles of your life on your own strength. The Lord is going to lead you across. Now, some take the Jordan as a type of the Christian entering heaven. And I'm not going to have a theological dispute that with anyone who does that. But more so, this is a picture of a Christian going into a new area of victory and blessing in their own personal life. The Jordan is the things that's killing the joy, the blessedness of God's grace within your own heart and in your own soul. Now, on what basis would I say that? Well, you think about this river Jordan. There's a number of times in the Bible when great events take place at the Jordan. One is at 2 Kings chapter 2 and the verse 8. Let's just use our Bibles here. It'll give you a breather, a moment to change posture and turn in your Bible to chapter 2, verse 8. And we're told that Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they went to over on dry ground. Here is another event of smiting the waters and of passing over on dry ground. Now it's linked to Elijah's departure from this world. And it's linked to Elisha's entering into his ministry of double blessing. You'll notice in verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I will do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And then we go down to verse 13 and 14. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell upon from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had all smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. It's the place of power. It's the place of victory. For Elijah, it was victory over death. For Elisha, it was the place of the double portion. What are you praying for this morning? What are you hungry for? What are you longing for God to do in your own heart and life? Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, I will do wonders among you. Then there's also the Lord's baptism at Jordan. Now, there wasn't the dividing of the waters, but when Christ was baptized, we know that the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, rested upon him, and that was the commencement of his earthly ministry. And the Holy Spirit ministered to the Lord Jesus, strengthened him, and empowered him. And that's a mystery to us. How Jesus, the Son of God, omnipotent and infinite, needed the grace, the help, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But I certainly know that I need the Holy Spirit. And I need help even to sanctify myself, even to live pure and clean from this wicked world. And you need the power of the Holy Ghost in your own soul. And of course, for the people crossing over Jordan, it was a new life. It was a life of victory. We know the victory at Jericho. We're also reminded of the defeat at Ai when Achan had sinned. But they dealt with that ruthlessly. Achan was stoned. Family put away. Sin was put away. And that's what maintains the blessing in the Christian's life. Going over and conquering. Sanctified people can expect God to lead them right over the Jordan. They could not remember the event of the dividing of the Red Sea. This was a new generation. They could not say, "Well, we know this by experience." And sometimes that's the devil's ploy. We've done it before. We've seen it in the past. And you rest on the past experience. Men and women, in this 21st century, we are facing enemies so strong. We are facing issues that is going to crush the church and divide her into little pieces. We need to see the Lord work and in a mighty way to revive his church and to defeat his and our enemies and give the victory to his people again. Now the Lord said to these Israelites, you haven't experienced this because at the end of verse 4, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And that is where heartfelt faith comes in. God is leading us, each one, in a new way, which requires total trust in him. And it's tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. And when we face our Jordans, we need to expect God to open a way. Now, in practical terms, in our daily Christian lives, there are things that we face. It could be for you moving home. If you're a preacher or a missionary, that's a huge step. It may mean a new church, a new circle of friends, new supports. For some, happily, it might be marriage, and you certainly haven't gone that way before. This is all new. But the Lord can make you the husband you need to be, or he can make you the wife that you need to be. The Lord can go before you. It may be a new job. You lack the experience, you lack the confidence, you fear and tremble what the future holds. But the Lord can go before you. It might be illness or something going on in your bodily frame that's never going to change in this world. You're going to have to live with it, manage it, and adjust accordingly. It's certainly true as we age. We're not 25 anymore. This is a new way. Then, of course, the valley of death. If the Lord tarries, every one of us is going to go through the valley of death. But this is the Lord's promise. It is a shadow of death. And I will be with thee. For some, it's bereavement. And that's a way that you've not had to go before. It's a hard way. There are things that you wish you could change. But the Lord tells you, you must go over and go on, even with all the uncertainties. Now think on this truth. By setting ourselves apart, sanctifying ourselves, the Lord will lead us over. That's our part. You trust the Lord. Get right with the Lord. And he will work for you. This chapter has brought that great promise in Isaiah 43 into new light for me. When you think of that verse, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When Isaiah was moved to write those words, God had already led his people through the waters. The Red Sea, the Jordan, they were to make memorials of both. God leads his people through waters so that they do not overflow and do not destroy. The other thing that sanctified people expect is that God's presence will be with them. In verse 6 and verse 7, you will see that the command is given, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And then verse 7, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. With one big difference. With Moses, and every day right up to the Jordan, they had the pillar of cloud. That was over. That most dramatic, that most obvious sign of God's presence, the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. God was continually, visibly present. But now his presence was transferred totally to the Ark of the Covenant. That box containing the law. And God's presence was in that very Ark of the Covenant. The priests were to carry to the edge of the waters. And they were to follow that. Now, do you see the transfer from the dramatic to the Word of God? There are many people today, they want religion that is filled with drama, filled with the phenomenal, the wonders and signs. But we are a people of the book. We're guided by this word. On that day when they crossed the Jordan, these people became mature. They ceased to be under the pillar and following the word. And you are called not to be looking for signs and wonders and drama, but to follow the less dramatic, but the more sure word of prophecy that we have in God's word. Thank you for the amen. Oh boy, I can look forward to lunch today at ease. If I got no amens in the sermon, I would be in trouble. But here is the obvious sign of God's presence. And we need to be a prepared people. We need to set ourselves apart that we might know the Lord working amongst us. We need that Psalm 119 attitude. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You'll notice over in verse, where are we at? Joshua 3 and verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. That solidifies it. That's the word that they're depending on. And with that expectation, they go forward. What are you expecting God to do for you? The Christian that has no expectation is very low in faith. God has promised to be with you. He has promised to lead you. He has promised to give you the power. The Christian life is a life of expectation. And then now comes the application. The application is, how did they follow through? Now remember, this book of Joshua is not just history, but it is written for our learning, and we must take these lessons to heart. Well, number one, we must follow the Lord loyally, as Israel did. You look at verse 4. You will see that they were to keep a space of 2,000 cubits between them and the ark. Now, that's 2,000 cubits, 18 inches from your forefinger to your elbow, somewhere like that. Maybe Mr. Pollock's would be a little longer. 2,000 cubits is about 3,000 feet. That's just over half a mile. 5,280 feet in a mile. That's for those people who have gone metric. And just over half a mile distance between the ark and the people of God. Why are that distance? Because if they all crammed in, they would end up going after the herd mentality. They couldn't see the ark unless it was at a significant distance. Then they could all keep their eye upon the ark. And they could all follow, not just men, but follow the ark. And that's the application we need in our lives. Are you a follower of men? Are you a follower of phenomenon? Or are you a follower of the Lord? Personally dedicated, consecrated to Christ. I want you to put your finger today on the very thing or the things that are a distraction to your faithful following of the Lord. I'll give you three of the all-time great excuses that I hear. Number one, no time. And yes, time is an enemy for the Christian. We have to fight for time. We've got to make that time. And it comes down to disciplining our priorities. Number two, taking shortcuts. I did, but I didn't get much out of it. It was rushed. And you don't rush God. Thirdly, looking back to Egypt. And that comes up again and again in these chapters. you have confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have pleaded His cleansing blood. You have said that you are trusting only in His redemption and that you are a debtor to His grace. And yet you feel the tug of Egypt, the world in your heart. You've got to keep your eye on the ark. You've got to keep looking to the Lord. And then as we looked at verse 9, hear the words of the Lord. Let that word dwell richly in your heart. Then go forth in faith. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off. That was the promise. And as you go on down to verse 15, 17, you will see exactly how it happened in that way. As soon as the priests' feet touched the waters, it stood, it all banked up on the side toward Adam. And the water dried up. And they went across. Now, what's the lesson of the fact that they had to dip their feet in the waters before it divided? That's an act of faith. And many of us want to walk by sight. And we're afraid to step out. We're afraid to take the step in case we be embarrassed. We've got to walk by faith. And that's how it happened. One more point. Give the honor to the Lord. That's the application. If you look in verse 7, you'll see how God honored Joshua. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. God was honoring Joshua. But if you look at verse 10, you will see how Joshua honored the Lord. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. Brothers and sisters, let us give the honor to the Lord. We have the honor of serving Him. It's great to be a Christian. Amen. It's great to be a child of God. It's great to be in His service. But we must give the glory, the honor unto Him. Sanctify yourselves. Come apart. Set yourself apart for God, for His work, His service. Frances Havergal, as I mentioned, vowed that she would only use her voice for the Lord. Her hymn also calls us to surrender our silver and gold. But if you sing that hymn, you will hear the lines, take my life, take my will, take my love. Does the Lord Jesus have your love today? Amen. Have you given Him your heart? Sanctify yourself. There's a reason, a big reason, why it is the surrendered life that will be the victorious life. And we see it here. Sanctify yourselves. May the Lord give you the grace to put to death everything in your soul that would hinder you, and dedicate yourself today, lock, stock, and barrel, from head to toe, to serve the Lord. Please come close to me.
Let's turn in hymnals to that hymn that's been referred to, the hymn 560. The hymn 560, we'll just turn and we'll stand together and sing and do so prayerfully, carefully, in light of all that we've heard this morning from the Word, the need for surrender and sanctification. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. 560, and let's stand together as we worship the Lord's name. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercies, and we thank you that you've given us the blessing of hearing thy word today. We thank you for, again, the reminder of our responsibility, that which we do by grace and by thy Spirit, and yet we're conscious, O Lord, of our need to put off the old and put on the new, to sanctify ourselves, to set ourselves apart. Give us grace, O Lord, wherever we're from. And as we meet around the word this week, that we would resolve in our hearts to return and to serve thee in whatever field we are, that we would serve thee with our all and for thy glory. Bless our fellowship this afternoon. You keep your hand upon us, we pray. We ask, O Lord, for your help. We thank you for things provided for us. Help us again to eat and drink to thy glory. And may our fellowship indeed be sweet, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Going to just see what state things are in, and then I'll get some instructions after that, okay?